What's up, everyone? This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. This is Rich doing things solo as Scott isn't able to join with a busy schedule. We're on a short week. Just did an episode yesterday and doing another one today. Wanted to get this out before tonight's big matchup that could basically clinch the AFC West for us once again against the Los Angeles Chargers. As always, don't forget to check us out on all social media apps, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Podcast-wise, you can get us on Spotify, Apple, Google, anywhere you listen up your podcast at. Don't forget to subscribe, like, whatever it is you want to call it, follow, so that you get our episode updates as soon as they come out. Jumping straight into this big matchup, I'm glad the NFL likes to keep the Chargers and the Chiefs games on Thursdays. It makes for it's always a good, fun, and entertaining match between these two. It's a rivalry game because of the division. And for once in a long time, it means something, right? We're battling for the division where either team could take it after this game. So, thank the NFL for figuring things out and giving us some better games as opposed to at the beginning of the year. What's going to matter in this game is the availability of players. With the NFL hitting an all-time high in COVID numbers or players being out because of COVID, who is available is very important for both teams, as both teams are missing key players within their lineup. But before I jump into injuries, let's go over a high level some of the numbers for this game. Coming into this game, the Chiefs are 9-4, and the Chargers are 8-5. Chiefs still lead the division by a game. After this game, we'll see where the divisions stand. Heading into the rankings for each team, so I'll start out with the Chiefs' numbers, then jump into the Chargers. Points scored per game, the Chiefs are at 27, which is 8th best in the league. The Chargers are tied with the Chiefs with 27 points per game obviously at 8th. Points allowed per game, Chiefs are at 20.6, which is the sixth best ranking in the league. And the Chargers are at 25.8, which is the 26th lowest ranked defense, points-wise. Passing yards per game, the Chiefs are the sixth best passing offense at 277 per game. And the Chargers are the fifth best at 280 yards per game. On the ground, the Chiefs are at 111 yards per game, which makes them the 16th best rushing game. And the Chargers are the 21st ranked with 104 yards on the ground. Defensively, the Chiefs' yardage per game in the air is 252, which is the 26th ranked pass defense. The Chargers are at 207, which is the 4th best passing defense per game. Rushing wise, from a defensive perspective, Chiefs are at 109 yards per game, which is 14th, and the Chargers are giving up 140 yards per game, which is 31st, second to last in the NFL. All right, so now getting into the big names, the confirmed names on being out for this game. Most of these are COVID related. So the big names, right, I'll start out with the Chargers. They are missing Rashawn Slater, their all-star, maybe even all-pro rookie left tackle out of Northwestern, protects Justin Herbert's blind side. And Austin Ekeler seems to be a game-time decision because he is also listed as questionable, so his is not COVID-related, but Rashawn Slater's is. Of course, the Chargers have a few other folks that are questionable, banged up, but let's say not other notable names that are out for this game. On the Chiefs end, we have a lot of notable names. Biggest one being Chris Jones. He is on the COVID list and was not able to get cleared so that he could play this game tonight. Josh Gordon is also out because of COVID. Same with Willie Gay. And then L'Jarius Sneed seems to be the personal reasons that he had last weekend and being out for the Raiders game. Which is why he's not playing this game as well. And then a new name on that has come up recently, if not mistaken, within the last few hours per the Twitter account, is Charvarius Ward. with an illness. So that'll be an interesting one to see, because Chiefs would be missing their one and two corners in the secondary if Charvarius Ward is out as well, going up against Keenan Allen and Mike Williams of the Chargers. So that'll be interesting. Big game for Mike Hughes, DeAndre Baker, for those guys to step up and really do some damage in a good way with Snead and Ward being out. And that's really going to be the story, in my opinion, for this game, is which team is able to capitalize on the absences that both groups have. Because whether it be Chris Jones, Jarius Snead, or Willie Gay, even Charvarius Ward or Rashawn Slater, those are all big-time names in positions that are key for either team to be successful. So heading straight into what I think are the keys to this game. From an offensive perspective, I would like to see Mahomes continue to play smart, take what the defense gives you. If they aren't letting you throw the ball over the top and, you know, go for that big play that we're all so used to seeing the old Mahomes be, then take the short passes, take the screens, take the quick slants, the drag routes, all of those, whether it's to Kelce, to Hill, backs swinging out the backfield. Be smart. Protect the ball. Take what is given to you. Get the ball in the hands of playmakers quickly. The other one, and this is reflected by the Chargers' second-to-last rush defense, is run the ball. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has looked really well since coming back from his injury. Darrell Williams has stepped up in Clyde's absence and has shown that he has playmaking ability, and even Derek Gore. So you've got three capable running backs that can damage the Chargers, so do that. It'll also, kill the clock, win the time of possession. So I hope that the Chiefs play a smart and efficient game on offense where they are consuming the clock. You know, hopefully it's an 8 to 10 plus play drives. Keep Justin Herbert off the field. Keep your defense off the field since they are beat up and missing a lot of players. On the defensive front, with the left tackle of the Chargers being out this game in Rashawn Slater, Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram should be all over their replacement left tackle and hopefully have a big game. I mean, Frank Clark has been doing really, really well basically for the most part of this season after a rough start with some injuries and stuff like that. I mean, he's just been absolutely balling out. Last week, getting called out on Twitter with some amazing plays, the spin move that ended up not resulting in a sack because of a penalty. But in this game, anytime your left tackle is out, that's who you attack. That's what happened to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl with a damaged line. And so the Chargers will be in that same situation. We all know Justin Herbert has one of the best arms in the NFL. Spot on with accuracy, amazing power, just an overall great quarterback. The league is in good hands with Mahomes and Herbert. The pass catchers, Keenan Allen, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Mike Williams has been tearing it up this year when he hasn't been too injured, which he has been a lot of lately. And our secondary is beat up. We're going to be missing Legarius Sneed, potentially Charvarius Ward. So Rashard Fenton, Mike Hughes really need to step it up. And you know that their game plan will be to attack those guys because they aren't, let's say, the one and the two, and they'll be facing one and two wide receivers. So it all starts in the trenches. How much can we disrupt Justin Herbert with Clark, with Melvin Ingram, and Jaren Reed, and any of our other rotation defensive linemen have to step it up and make plays, just make his life uncomfortable, beat up Justin Herbert early so that, you know, he starts feeling the pressure a little bit and starts making errant throws, and then we can get to being ball hawks as the team was last week. Austin Eckler's availability will be really important as well because he is a big part of their offense, catching the ball as well as running out of the backfield. And when you don't have an athletic linebacker like Willie Gay to help stop a very athletic running back in Austin Eckler, it's important to limit that as much as can be. So if we're creating havoc in the backfield, whether it's, you know, passing or rushing, that'll make for a better game. And these are all obvious things that you want to happen in a football game, but calling out specifics on their offensive line and our defensive line. So key to my game is for Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram. I think they should have 3 sacks minimum and should constantly be pressuring Justin Herbert and forcing Aaron throws, making him throw the ball a little bit faster than he wants to. And we know that he's got the cannon to make throws from all kinds of weird angles. So just make it uncomfortable and then let our ball hawk in secondary step up and make big plays. Special teams wise, Harrison Butker has to be clutch, which we know for the most part he is. So technically shouldn't be any concerns. He's made kicks in big games. But again, right, can't miss extra points. Can't miss any field goals because I think this is going to be a very tight game. And then even in the special teams game, from a punt and kickoff perspective, whether it's McColl or Mike or Tyreek, whoever's back there, got to protect the ball. Make plays when we get the opportunity, but don't force anything, right? Again, this has to be a smart game overall by our group. Talking a little bit about the last few matchups. So we know that the Chiefs have lost 2 straight to the Chargers. The last game being that really good game there at the end of September. And then losing the last game of the season where basically most of our backups were in the game. So it's more like just one game. Before that, we had won 3 straight. And they're all pretty close games. I mean, looking at the scores, you've got 30-24 Chargers, 38-21 being the end of season game last year, 20-23 Chiefs, or 23-20 Chiefs, 31-21 Chiefs, 24-17 Chiefs. So I think that trend will continue here, and it'll be another close game. These short week Thursday night games are always interesting because if the players have Monday off, they're really only using Tuesday to prepare. Wednesday, they're usually traveling, which is the Chiefs' case as they left yesterday. And you're doing just walkthroughs and mental preparation on game day in the team hotel, so on and so forth. So it's just going to be one of those games where who's got more talent on the field, who's able to make more plays, the least amount of mistakes, and just capitalize on those one or two instances where that talent gap is going to make a difference. So, again, I hope the Chiefs are very smart on offense and on defense. They just play all out because we expect their offense to be really good. And so you just got to limit that as much as possible, and it starts in the trenches. I'll jump into prediction. So let's say despite all of the injuries, I still have faith in the Chiefs pulling this one out. We'll still have players on defense like Frank Clark, Melvin Ingram, whether it's Jaren Reed, Nadi, Warthen, Alex Okafor, you know, Nick Bolton, Anthony Hitchens, Thornhill, Matthew, Rashad Fenton. Those are all guys that are still very, very capable. And the good thing about defense is your scheme and your ability to be in the right spots to stop the offense from doing what they're supposed to do or what they plan on doing is key. And Spagnuolo has just been spot on with everything. So despite the fact that we have a lot of players out on defense, I still think the Chiefs pull off a tight one there in Los Angeles. And hopefully that's not the last time we play in the stadium this year. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs 27, Chargers 24. I think there will be 3 touchdowns that will come from the Chiefs, with 2 of them being 2 running backs, right? Whether that is Clyde Edwards-Helaire catching pass out the backfield, Darrell Williams, you know, with the rush up the middle. I think the running backs will have a big impact. They'll score 2 or maybe even all 3 of the touchdowns. I think Justin Herbert will, without a doubt, get his touchdowns, you know, passing the ball. I think they'll get all 3 of their touchdowns throwing it. But at the end of the day, what makes the difference is 2 field goals by Butker. So, again, I'm going to go with the Chiefs 27, Chargers 24. I know a lot of people said, with all these injuries or all these unavailabilities of the Chiefs players, that the Chiefs didn't have a chance. And who knows? That might be true, right? I don't get paid for this. I don't get paid for being accurate on my opinion or feedback that I'm giving about the score of the game. And so, yeah, don't take it to the bank. Don't go betting on any game or anything like that because of what I said. So Chiefs 27, Chargers 24, pull out a close one. Good game to watch. There's going to be a lot of hard-hitting, just an old-school rivalry game Thursday night, as we've seen several times between these two teams. From a Chiefs-Chargers perspective, that is really all I have for today. Without my partner in crime here, there's no dialogue. I'm going back and forth, right? So it's all my thoughts. So, of course, the episode speeds up a little bit. But I did want to end this with two different topics, still within the football world, but not Chiefs or Chargers related. First topic I'll bring up is the coaching carousel that we had in college football with all kinds of big names moving around in the college game. I think it's probably the most chaotic coaching carousel that we've had in college football for a while, with big names moving from programs to legendary programs that maybe have been asleep for a while, such as Lincoln Riley moving from OU to USC, to Mario Cristobal leaving Oregon, Nike U, to go back to his alma mater in Miami. Movement from Notre Dame with Brian Kelly going down to LSU, hiring of Billy Napier, another Saban assistant at Florida. All those things are, things we didn't expect or changes that we didn't expect midway through the season, but it made it fun. And obviously the college coaching game is a little bit different because there's that big gap between the last season and the conference championship until the bowl games. So it's all kind of movement and who's coaching the bowl game, so on and so forth. It's always fun to talk about those things and just look at them, understand why things happen. How is Brian Kelly going to fit into LSU? Being a guy from the Northeast, being from Boston, all of a sudden having a Southern accent, down there with his Louisiana folks, to seeing Mario Cristobal in Miami, where he's from, back with people he's grown up with, in the spot where he's lived his whole life, to Lincoln Riley, going over from living in Norman, Oklahoma, to Los Angeles, and completely different lifestyles, right? So I think having USC Miami back on the big college football stage with Bama's, the Michigan's, the Georgia's, that's good for college football. So once the University of Texas gets their stuff together and is just as good as those programs, it's good to see those old blue bloods, as we say, be good once again. And then the last topic I just wanted to bring up quickly is, if you haven't kept up with college recruiting, yesterday was the early national signing day for college, where recruits could sign their letters of intent to play for whatever university they have chosen. And the number one recruit on most recruiting websites, Travis Hunter, decommitted from Florida State University and is the first ever top recruit to go to a HBCU school and committed to Jackson, signed his letter of intent to Jackson State, who is coached by none other than primetime Deion Sanders. So from an understanding of how college football works with the new NIL stuff and just changing of the game with the promotion of HBCU schools, this was huge. This is one thing that could potentially be game-changing, where kids that maybe didn't look at the Jackson States or any of the other HBCU schools are now looking at those schools because they can still make money. They can still make hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands, hundreds, or maybe even millions of dollars. They go to a school, they can play football, have fun, be ready for the draft in 3 years. And even if they don't make it to the draft or make it to the NFL, they still got paid. We all know that the NIL is a little bit different and has changed the game a little bit, but it's for the good. These players have always deserved to be able to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. And they finally got it. And so the number one recruit in the nation going from Primetime's alma mater in Florida State to an HBCU school is huge, right? Turned down offers from obviously all the big universities in Bama, Georgia, Miami, all of those schools. So big news, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes about. There is a signing period that's, you know, after the new year for the later ones. So again, right, just big news within the football world. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Travis Hunter has already signed, if I'm not mistaken, a multi-million dollar deal with some gaming company. So yeah, he'll be playing football for Deion Sanders down at Jackson State while making a bunch of money. And hopefully in about 3 years or so, he'll be ready for the NFL. I mean, and who better to learn from than Deion Sanders, right? The greatest cornerback of all time. Also somebody who changed the game. So Deion doing a great job. And unfortunately, sticking one to his alma mater at Florida State. There's a lot of folks, depending on how much you follow Twitter and all that stuff, completely irate about what Deion did to his alma mater, talking about they should ban him, folks burning his jersey in their memorabilia cases, so on and so forth. But yeah, definitely something that's important to talk about, keep up with, as the college football landscape keeps changing from coaching carousels and these humongous 10-year deals that they're giving coaches to a number one recruit ditching all the perennial powers and signing with an HBCU school. So that is all for me today. Hope you guys enjoy tonight's matchup between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Chiefs pull it off. We crown another division title, and we finish up the season against two AFC North opponents and then head into the playoffs with continued momentum. Scott should be back with us on our post-game review that we'll have probably over the weekend. If not, I'll be here and you guys get to listen to me more. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget to follow us on social media pages as well as all of your podcast networks. Thanks, everyone. Go Chiefs!